When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscay. Yikes. 5 on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome to the latest episode of 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're now on Red Circle, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, also Spotify on the 5 Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. You get all of our other content. You can find more content at 5reasonsports.com. Plenty on the Panthers as they go to try to win the Stanley Cup, trying to make this a two-championship town this year, or two separate towns about 40 miles apart from each other. Check that out at 5reasonsports.com. We do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. That includes Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. They've got a free Jokic square on there right now. It's half a point. All he's got to do is score 1 point in the first game, and that's an automatic box that you get. Go to Prize Picks, go to the Google Play Store, Apple App Store, or prizepicks.com, but make sure you use the code 5, F-I-V-E, or you won't get the initial deposit match. And now, today's episode. All right, welcome back to 5 on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan episode off for Greg, Brady, Alex, all still celebrating. Brady and I will be at the arena for Game 3 and 4 in Miami. I'll be with Mateo Mayorga in Denver for the first two games of that series. I got to get, what's the name of that thing now, George? Ball Arena? Is that what that thing's called now?
It is called Ball Arena.
Ball Arena. It's better than Kasaya Center. Anyway, so we'll be out there for games 1 and 2. So the voice that you heard, that's George Sedano. You can follow him at Sedano. Of course, a lot of you used to listen to him on 790 The Ticket and other outlets in South Florida. Now you can hear him on ESPN. He's one of the Miami representatives at the network. I'm going to go through a few topics with you here quickly, okay? And I just want to get your thoughts on them as we go forward. The first thing is this. Do you think that the Miami Heat, with what they've done, have finally earned respect? This particular version of the Miami Heat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's always going to be people who are going to say stuff to just say stuff. As you know, as well as anyone, there have been a lot of carnival barkers in media forever, regardless of whether it's sports or not, right? Like, there's always going to be those people that are going to be so stubborn in their takes that are not going to give them credit. But those are outliers at this stage. I think that 99.9% of media, for the most part, NBA media, right, for the most part, is pretty rational. And when this team upset Milwaukee, beat New York, and then upset Boston, it's kind of hard not to give them their due at this point. They're literally doing this stuff with guys dropping like flies, right? Hero was out, Oladipo was out. They don't have any kind of depth, at least from what we recognize. Now we can discuss whether that's actually been a positive or a negative, but nonetheless, it's the fact that Jimmy said it best. They have guys that can step up regardless of their role. Like, they feel confident that the next man up, as cliche as it sounds, is capable of doing the job at a high level. So I think that most people now see that. Although we joke today on Around the Horn that the word undrafted will become a banned word on the show.
I'm glad to hear that. And that was the next thing I want to get to you on, because I've made the argument that that has become pejorative and not intentionally. I don't think it's intentional. I don't think that the people using it mean to be demeaning. Right. I think it started as a sort of a compliment to the Heat organization and quote unquote Heat culture, which, as I define Heat culture, it's their understanding of their own organization. Okay. It's, they know what a certain guy that they look at, and they see a Caleb Martin, and they see a skill set, and they say, okay, we get that skill set and that attitude here, and we can bring out the rest. There's one of the top Heat executives said to me yesterday, he said, I was talking about Caleb, okay, and the fact that he's made a say. He says he could have gone somewhere else, but he knew that this was a platform where he could grow. And I feel like that is the real definition of Heat culture. It's identifying with Duncan Robinson that there is a skill set. Now, we can talk about whether you overpay these guys ultimately and whether or not you'd be better off letting them walk, and that's a conversation for an off-season episode, okay? But what they are able to do is identify, okay, Duncan Robinson has this skill, and now we're looking a couple years later, and he's doing things like cutting and making plays in the lane that he never did before. And it took time, but that stuff has happened. Or Max Strus, there's a certain toughness there with him, right, that they thought that they could develop in addition to shooting. And Gabe, okay, was a scorer in college, right? But they saw some point guard skills that could be molded. And so they have an understanding of their coaching staff, of their players, and of their environment. And that is, to me, Heat culture. That's what it means. But I think what's happened is this idea, which, again, started as a compliment to them getting the most out of guys who were not expected to do much, has become this kind of slight, okay, where it's sort of like, well, these guys are really not that good. And I feel like that's why Spo reacted to it. And I feel like, and you and I are going to talk about Spo a little bit here, I feel like that's why Spo looks at himself that way. Like, Spo came out of the media room. Andy Ellisberg came out of the media room, or the PR room. He came out of the video room, right? And so he was undrafted. Like, he was not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was not, I mean, he was plucked out of there, but he was somebody who had to be molded, who nobody would have looked at and said, Eric Spoelstra is going to fill this role. And I think that's why he found it demeaning and resented it. And that's the same reason I view it that way.
Oh, I think he absolutely views it that way. I don't think most people are using it as a pejorative. I think that at least not, you know, again, it's not the majority of people, right? I think that the people who know basketball around, and there's plenty of those, right? Like, I think it's the overwhelming majority. I think that sometimes we amplify some of the silliness, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that the majority of people, they see that, man, and they know how hard it is to develop those guys. And there's a reason that there's only a couple of organizations that do a really good job of it, right?
Right.
Miami's one. I would say Toronto is another one. The Spurs used to be that. You know, I don't know if that's the case anymore. But those two, right above all, make a lot of sense to me. Even for all the grief that, you know, the teams here get, where I'm at in L.A., they have both done a nice job developing guys, right? Like, the Clippers have Terrence Mann, who's a rotation player on any good team, right? The Lakers previously, Alex Caruso, right, was like Austin Reeves is another example. Mm-hmm. But I think that that stuff now, I don't think has the same negative connotation it used to have. To your point, it used to feel like the overwhelming majority of people would use that as a negative, much like something that I'm close to, the G League, right? Because I end up doing a lot of G League games during the season. Mm-hmm. There used to be a huge negative connotation with what was then the D League, remember?
Right.
Like, and it wasn't until Gatorade took it over, they kind of remodeled the way they were going to brand the thing, that it allowed guys to realize, oh, being down there isn't as bad, right? And those guys were labeled for a long time. I work with Corey Alexander here at ESPN Radio, and he's a guy who played in the NBA, right, with the Spurs, whatnot, but had to go down to the D League at one point. And he talked about the difference, right, that when he was down there, it was absolutely a demotion. I think guys now around the league look at it as, particularly young guys, right, they look at it as, oh, I get a chance to actually play and hone my skills. So just circling back to my point, I just think that there's more people around the sport that understand that than the people that make that a negative connotation. Well,
it's different to understand.
I think that that's such a small thing to focus on, you know?
But it's a small thing to focus on until it's beaten into your head. I feel like it, and I want to move off of it because I don't want to spend the whole time on the media here. I want to get to Spo and Riley and Butler and Hero. But I'm just, because you and I could do this conversation for 3 hours, honestly. I think that, I think that the way that I look at it is, when one person, and I don't want to name specifics in the media, but I'm saying, and people who know who this was, who was covering the series, keep saying it over and over and over and over. It's like they have nothing else to say. Okay. It's just like, tell me, for instance, like with Gabe Vincent, like, instead of telling me he's undrafted over and over, tell me like how he got in this position. Like, how this guy who, again, was not a point guard, was molded into a point guard by this organization, what the Heat saw in him that they liked, you know, what he did with Nigeria against the U.S. that kind of proved that he could play in this role, what he's learned from Kyle Lowry. To just say undrafted, it's like you throw them all into the same bucket. It's like, Kale, okay, the J. Cole story is great. We've heard it 3 million times at this point. But, like if I'm watching this team, I'm like, where the hell did this guy come from? Like, seriously, like, you couldn't separate him from his twin before, okay? He was a scorer in college. The Hornets released him. Like, the worst organization in the league right now, arguably, right? Released him. Just decided that – but, like, you're watching him. He's like, he's athletic. He has counters to everything. He's become a pretty good shooter. How did this happen? I just wish, I guess, that the media would stop being so lazy. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not pejorative. Just stop being so lazy. Like, tell me why these things are happening. And I just don't feel like they're doing a particularly good job of it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because a couple weeks ago, I tweeted something. Somebody I followed, Kenny Spence, who covered, mm-hmm. you know, on Twitter. He was talking or going at it with somebody on Twitter about that if Denver Miami played each other, the ratings would be bad. And I kind of quote tweeted that and said, long story short, I would basically just summarize it by saying that if that indeed is the matchup and they have, if the ratings are bad in air quotes, then I think that's a collective failure of us as an NBA media, right?
Right.
To not do the stories and dive in a little deeper, right? And give people the storylines. And I understand that comparing the NFL to the NBA is not apples to apples. Number one, it's a sport that has 17 games during the regular season, scarcity, all that. But the one thing that I think the NFL media does better than the NBA media is storytelling. Right. During the season, I know about the best players on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know the best players on the Baltimore Ravens, and I know at least some depth to who they are and why they're good, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's our fault as a collective NBA media, the individuals covering it, et cetera, that we just need to do a better job of teaching. My guy, J.J. Redick, has said as much, basically. And I agree with him on that. I think that's something we could all do. We could hold ourselves accountable more to do better. You know what I mean? On that stuff.
All right, I agree with you. All right, we're going to go rapid fire here on four topics. I already gave
We've wasted 12 of the 15 minutes.
I think people want to hear us talk about that, honestly.
No, I agree.
Because it is a big sore point with Heat fans. It is.
And, I get it.
And maybe they're overly sensitive, and maybe I and my network have played a role in this, because I think we've taken this kind of counter, you know, this we've talked about this sort
you
of
stoke the flames.
Well, we do, but it's not like there's nothing to stoke, George.
Even the stoker scolding.
Right. Well, at least it's not like Chandel calls me Coach Sko. Look, I think there's something there. If there wasn't something there, people wouldn't have reacted to us the way that they have in South Florida.
We're in a time in our lives, not to get too existential, but like that we are the most tribal we've ever been. And sports was kind of like the original place where that existed. And now it's just been magnified, you know?
Right, right. No, but it's true. But I mean, when you're dealing with, and again, the Heat in some ways, this is different than last year. This year, they didn't deserve to be talked about because they were the 8th seed and they were horrible to watch. And we talked about the whole year. Last year, they were the 1 seed. I felt like they were seriously mistreated by the media in terms of the amount of attention that they got.
You know they love that stuff.
No, but they do. Well, it's what I asked Jimmy and Spo before the playoffs started.
That when they feel slighted. They love
it. I threw them the softballs before the playoffs started. I'm the one who did it. Spo and Jimmy and both, I don't give a bleep. And Jimmy, you saw the clips, okay? And it's funny because someone close to Jimmy texted me and goes, "You knew what you were doing." I said, "Absolutely," but they like that. They like that, and they are better. We talked about this. The Heat are better.
It feeds
being doubted to be front runners. They're bad front runners.
Yeah, that's why when they went down in Game 6 and they lost that way, and I was like, "Wow, that must feel like how the Spurs people felt." Back after the Ray Allen shot, and they still had another game to play on the road, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to go over to NBA TV and watch these press conferences because I wanted to see the reaction. And after Spo and Jimmy were so defiant, I was like, oh, they're going to win this next game. And then Spo was even more defiant, I felt like, at the shoot around that I saw, the video I saw surfacing from there. So I just felt like they were going to be in a good position, but they love all this stuff. To my point, people doubt them. People are already crowning the Celtics, and They love every ounce of that. It's what feeds them.
No, absolutely. Well, it's funny. Look, Strus and all of them were wearing the undrafted T-shirts earlier in the season, and then everybody was getting offended by funny. It. So I'm not gonna get too offended by it. All right,
I'm surprised you didn't put it in your merch shop.
I think it is, actually. Well, something close to it is. We have the You Can Hate Us Now shirts. We have the We Have Enough shirts. We have the There Are Obstacles, But There Are None shirts. We have thank you for the plug, by the way. We have a Take Us There shirts. We have all the shirts there. So you can buy them at 5reasonsports.com without a paywall,
listen,
by the way.
By the way, this conversation is clearly not going to be 15 minutes. So you might as well let us take our time on crap and let's just do it.
Well, like, I don't know because I got Chick-fil-A waiting for my daughter downstairs.
Oh, that's what it is.
From Uber Eats. I'm on a clock, which, by the way, you don't have to crawl behind me. Okay, you ready? No, we're going. That's fine. Okay. So anyway, want to tell you about a great sponsor, two great sponsors of the Five. George hasn't seen you since you were a baby.
Hi there, Sasha. How are you?
There you go. Daughters are the same age, actually. Want to tell you about two great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That's Better Edge. Use code 5RSN. Use that code 5RSN. You get $20 to play. Unlike the others, this is not offshore. It's based in Minneapolis, of all places. How wholesome can that be? Go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. You get $20 to play. The difference is you're playing against others. You're not playing against the book. That's what makes it legal. It's social betting. We've run tournaments there all during the NBA playoffs. We're continuing to do so. So use the code 5RSN, and you get $20 free to play right away. Also want to tell you about gamingparties.com. I know nobody has an off day right now because literally the Panthers and Heat are playing finals games every day of June. But when you do, it's great for a graduation party. Go to gamingparties.com. They'll bring the consoles. They'll bring the games. You choose them. You choose the venue. They do the VIP parties. They'll do everything for you. Again, it's just a great new concept based down here in Miami by, of course, Miami Heat fans. So go to gamingparties.com. That's gamingparties.com. And plan your customized gaming party today. All right, we are going to do this rapid fire here. So let's
roll. Okay, can I ask you one quick question before the rapid fire?
Yes.
Okay, I have stated on TV that I think this is the most satisfying Heat run of all their runs to the finals.
Yes. Yes.
For the obvious reasons of the 8-seed stuff, but B, this also feels like, because when this team was formed, you and I talked and I told you, they remind me of kind of the Zoe Timmy teams a little bit. You know what I mean? Just kind of the way that they're constructed. Obviously the more modern flair. So it feels like them getting to the finals again, and if they can win it, for me would justify that, man, they really, had they not run into Michael really and some crazy situations with the Knicks, that team could have absolutely won a championship. It would make me believe that more.
Well, that team would have won a championship. This is another topic for another day. If I believe they could have won a championship in 2000, 2001 if Zoe doesn't get sick. I'll always
That's
believe that.
That's true, too. He had finished third in the MVP vote.
That was the best team that he'd put together during that time. As much as I loved PJ.
The original Brian Grant, Eddie Jones, Zoe, Timmy team, right.
Exactly.
And Mason, right.
Yes, that and Bruce Bowen, too. Like, that team to me, and again, what happened was, by the time Zoe came back, they went 8-5 when he came back. Mace was unhappy. He didn't have the same role. May he rest in peace. And they got rolled by Charlotte. And Pat talked about how embarrassed he was. We are going to do this rapid fire. You ready?
Ready? Go.
All right. If they win a championship, do you think Pat steps aside? And who replaces him?
I mean, you would know better than anyone. He told you if he got one more, he wouldn't even.
Well, he told me that in 2015 in his office when he was pissed about LeBron. I think a lot of things have changed. You know, he hugs me now. He didn't used to do that. That was 8 years ago. What do you think? You think he walks away?
You know, it's funny. I think it would be a perfect ending, but yeah. I don't think that's him. I think he's one of these guys, and it's funny because I remember having this conversation with Bobby Bowden, not to get super morbid, but like I remember asking him, like, how much longer do you want to coach? And he's like, well, you know, the alternative isn't all that great, right? Mm-hmm. And while Rouse isn't.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight and handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them
longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coaching anymore, I still feel like at worst he's going to still have some sort of Jerry West role, like with the Clippers, you know, right now. So I don't think he completely goes away ever, right? And I've had these conversations with people who have previously worked at the organization and have left on good terms, and also believe that to be the case, that Pat will never ever go away.
Probably so, and that's going to lead to a question with Spo and his coaching staff at some point, because they keep losing assistants. They're going to lose Chris Quinn at some point soon.
Yeah.
Because Spo's not going anywhere, not going to the front office anytime soon, it doesn't appear, and he's going to be a coach for that long. All right, I have to address this. We're going to do this quickly. Your friend Dan Dockich, this was circulating again on social media today, where he is holding tight to his take that you called him out on famously. You stood up for Heat fans. Where he basically said, what, Nate McMillan was a better coach than Eric Spoelstra and others?
Just real quick, 2019 Summer League, Duncan Robinson is playing in the game that we're calling. And we get into, he leads me into some conversation about coaches. And I said something like, and I believe the conversation was something about develop guys who can develop guys, right? Developmental coaches and who are head coaches. And I mentioned, yeah, Eric Spoelstra too. Like, he always maximizes his guys. And he's like, oh, whatever. Like, he said that I said he's a top 2 or 3 coach. He said, there's no way he's not even a top 10 coach. He's just a guy. And it became like a first take episode at Summer League, which still to this day pops up regularly. But Ariel Helwani posted it today. I did his podcast on Showtime today, his Showtime podcast. And I don't know, man. I saw Dan double down. You know what? I like Dan personally. I had fun working with him that summer league. He is a man. I'm not surprised at all, though, that he would stand by what he said, because he seems like a pretty stubborn dude. And I mean that in a nice way.
Double down, Dan Dockich. It's an idiotic.
There you go. That could be his.
There you go. Quadruple D's. I'll just say it's a moronic take, George. It's just a moronic take, because his argument.
He had won two championships by then already. You know what I mean?
Right. But also he was.
Here's what he said.
He was pointing to the previous 3 years as evidence, like, because they didn't go very far. And he's like, thank Pat Riley. And I'm like, Pat Riley gave him Hassan Whiteside. Like, what are we talking about during that period of time? I mean, it's ridiculous. So, no, I'm sorry. That's
just stupid. And Deion Waiters.
Yes. All right. Next one here. This will make you think a little bit. Jimmy Butler now ranks where in Miami Heat history?
Now, this is an interesting question. I saw that Alf posted some semblance about this between him and LeBron, and people went nuts and it went like super viral. So Dwayne is still number one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that Dwayne will ever be replaced number one, at least not in my lifetime. But Dwayne is number one. I think that if Jimmy gets a championship in this scenario, I think he can be potentially number two. But I think I think you're splitting hairs between him and LeBron. LeBron still brought you two championships. You know what I mean? Right. Like, but I think that championships are not all weighted equally, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Spurs championship weighs a. I know the original one is the one to get your the weight off your shoulders. As right. crazy as this sounds, you know, once they got to OKC, I didn't. I mean, I know they lost game one. I never felt like they were going to lose that series. But the Spurs terrified you. They'd never lost, you know, so I feel like that one weighs more. So I believe this Jimmy one, if they pull this off, going through Milwaukee, going through the Knicks, going through Boston, and then going through the two-time MVP, who at their house of horrors, where they haven't won since 2016 when Jokic and Murray were coming off the bench, I think that one weighs a lot. So right. If he gets that one, I think I can rationalize potentially making him number two in Heat franchise history as far as his importance.
You already have him ahead of Zoe?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. I have him ahead of Zoe. And honestly, like right now it would be Dwayne, LeBron, Jimmy. Well, no, Dwayne, LeBron, Shaq still, I think.
I don't know.
He doesn't come here. They never win a championship in that with that group. Okay.
That is probably true. And maybe I'm just colored by the way that he left. It was just such a short tenure. And you're right. They probably never do win a championship, but they didn't win it in the year he was great. They won it the next year. And I understand understand that Avery Johnson acted ridiculous and decided to triple Shaq, who deserved some of that, but not really at that stage of his career.
Let's backtrack a little on that.
Okay.
He even with that strange series in Dallas where he was being doubled and triple team, he still averaged 20 and 10 for that entire postseason.
Averaged 13 in the finals. Fine. That's okay.
But in the Chicago series, he was great.
He was outscored by Antoine Walker in the finals, was he not?
Right, in the finals, yes.
Yes.
But he was good in the Detroit. He was very good in the Detroit series. He was great in the closeout game against Chicago. He doesn't come to Miami. None of this is possible. Okay. So you got to at least keep him there for now.
Yeah. But I'll go back further then. And again, you and I rapid fire.
That's my top five.
It's Chick-fil-A is going to close again by the time that. No, here's the thing. It's going to be Sunday. But I think Zoe has to be higher because he was the pillar. He changed the entire trajectory of the organization. If Pat doesn't get Zoe, Pat may not be there in five, six, seven years, right? Here's the
thing. Pat was going to get somebody, okay? And Zoe just happened to be – I'm not saying –
It just happened to be. He was the number two overall pick of the draft who averaged 23 points with Charlotte, who wasn't 25 years old yet.
But my point is winning has to factor into some of this, okay? And that, like when you're doing these – silly debates about where people rank. There's certain lines that you draw, right? Like that. This is the line of demarcation.
So it's because Zoe didn't get past the Eastern Conference Finals. Is
correct. That- as the main guy, right? Like, or as one of the top two options. You know what I'm saying? So he's still a top five player in a franchise that's had incredible amounts of talent on it. Like, what? Listen to the names we're talking about.
No,
like, to be behind LeBron and Shaq and eventually Jimmy, like that's not a small thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not it. Chris, we haven't even mentioned Chris Bosh and Tim Hardaway yet. So get it. I understand the level. And then there are guys who had their best years somewhere else, but think of all the other Hall of Famers who come through towards the tail end. Gary Payton, Ray Allen, now Kevin Love, Kyle Lowry. Like there are going to be ultimately a dozen guys in the next couple of years, once Dwayne goes in too, that came through Miami and were still effective to some degree, not at their highest level, like a Peyton and a Love.
They squeezed the last bit out of them. Right. Yes, 100%. Dude, Miami is since 2006, since that first championship where Shaq came and whatever, they've been the best team in the East, like over that span. And I would make an argument to say, I think the Lakers have only made more finals than them in that stretch. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's them and the Lakers basically.
The Warriors had the highest peak, and the Spurs had a very consistent run. But those would be the four organizations we were talking about. But the Celtics kind of jumping into it late now.
Yeah, but they've been this is their seventh finals appearance. So
no, it's crazy. No, it's completely insane. And I understand the argument for Shaq. I do. And I'm not holding on to petty grievances, which have nothing to do with Shaq, but the fact that I didn't like the trade. I'm not really holding on to those petty grievances, George. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm just saying none of this, like, literally, like, Glenn Rice was the best player, or Steve Smith, prior to Zoe coming in. And yes, although Glenn blossomed when he left, and he had some years here, nobody was going to be the centerpiece of a franchise like Zoe was. And so I'm just Zoe hesitating to push Zoe to the side, although – Jimmy
not to the
getting
side.
To this finals has kind of done it for me. It's
five. Like right. Him being number five of that group.
It's pretty damn good. No, it's pretty damn good. All right. So here, we got two more. We're supposed to do rapid fire. You and I never do this. Tyler Hero. How would you handle this in this series?
Oh, you bring him off the bench. If he's available, and he can, I would clearly give him small increments to see just how he does, because I can't imagine throwing him into the finals in thin air. Not that it seems like, I guess they'll do it in game three, but at some point he's going to have to play in thin air is a great idea. So I think off the bench for sure in small increments. And I you have to clearly put great defensive lineups around him, especially right now, you know, when he doesn't have his wind. So I think that I like it. He's had big games against them, and I think that they're most vulnerable at the rim. And I think that the way the Heat win this series is by controlling the pace and getting to the free throw line. They want to play at completely different paces. And the guys that can do that best are Jimmy and Tyler.
Right.
So I think that's why having him for this series is a big deal.
Whose minutes does he take? Duncan or Max? Because you're starting Max right now. Like I say, you're not taking Max out of the starting lineup.
No, most Max has got to start.
Up and down.
I think if Duncan is probably the first person, is my guess.
How can you now write though? I mean, how can you
write? Great. Yeah, he's playing great. I'm trying to think, because the rotation is obviously the starting five plus who's coming off the bench first?
Well, Kyle. I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, if the starting five, are we saying it's Caleb against this team or is it Kevin? Because he went with Kevin to start.
Aaron Gordon, I'd probably have Caleb.
Well, the way Caleb's playing. So if that's the case, your backup five against Jokic,
Their backup five, they go to Aaron Gordon mostly.
No, I understand it, but Jokic is going to play 40 minutes. So if Bam gets in foul trouble, has any other who's playing behind Bam? Is it Love or Zeller or Highsmith?
Oh, I would probably put Love over Zeller if it were me, unless you feel like Zeller is a better defensive player. But I haven't seen enough metrics to know the difference between the two, at least in their short stints with the Heat.
All right, so if it's Love, let's say it's Love, okay? You have Love, you have Lowry, you have Robinson right now, right? And so I guess Hero becomes sort of an X factor there. I want to get to Jokic to close here, but do you play more guys because of the altitude situation? I mean, you got sort of competing factors here, because I think the final setup is great for Jimmy. It's great for Jimmy, like, because he's got more time. There's more game days in between. It's not like the Eastern Conference Finals was every other day. You got three breaks actually in this series that are significant. So it really plays out for Jimmy. So in some ways, you can play your guys more minutes, but then playing them a lot of minutes in Denver's. I've never seen the Heat win there, by the way. I think I've been in that building 11 times with the Heat. Mm-hmm. Never seen them win. Dwayne used to. It always fell on the second night of a back to back. At the end of a five-game road trip where they were coming
in at like
from LA.
5 a.m. Yeah.
Right. And I would always see Dwayne the night before. And I'm like, you're not playing tomorrow. F no. Like, we knew that. Like, we knew Mike Miller. Like, you always knew Mike or JJ was getting those minutes, right? Or Tony Douglas or somebody like that in Denver. So it's a real thing. Like, it's a real thing. And when they get up on you, like, then it becomes much harder to kind of grind things out when you're dealing
with that. But that's why you have to control the pace. Right. You have to take advantage of the fact that they're not good at defending the rim. That's their weakness on defense. They have good perimeter defenders in KCP and, you know, even Jeff Green at this stage of his career, although I wouldn't put him second. If I was ranking their defensive guys on the perimeter, Gordon, KCP, Bruce Brown, obviously those are kind of the top three guys. And then, you know, Green, they'll throw Green at guys because of his length. But they only go like seven deep. They play Christian Brown, the kid from Kansas who beat Miami in the Final Four. Or the Elite Eight, I'm sorry, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But
they don't play Reggie Jackson, right?
They don't. They only played him in foul trouble in game two in the Western Conference, where both KCP and Michael Porter Jr. Went down with two quick fouls in that game. But yeah, they by the end of the Lakers series, they were only playing seven.
Okay, fair.
So that's why I think the Heat, Playing more guys could end up being a good thing in the long run if the series extends, you know?
All right, final thing here. We appreciate our sponsors, GamingParties.com, PrizePicks, use code 5BetterEdge, use code 5RSN. Catch us on playback all week long. We appreciate George for doing this. Real simple here. Is Nikola Jokic the best player in basketball right now?
He certainly is offensively, and I don't mean to just characterize it that way, but I think that I would probably say yes, because his offense is historical, and his defense is now, I think, average. You know what I'm saying? Where a couple of years ago, it was not. I saw him do a nice job at times on Anthony Davis in that series. Now, look, he's not as fleet as foot as you would want from a guy. His contemporaries are, rather.
Right.
Those guys are more fleet of foot, even Embiid, right? You know, et cetera. Even Davis, clearly. Mm-hmm. But he did a nice job. And he wasn't – people thought, oh, you could just expose him in the pick and roll all day, blah, blah, blah. They tried, and he held his own. You know what I mean? Like, he's not great at it. But I do think that they mix in the drop stuff with him, and it just depends on what the offense is dictating, how they will adjust the drop and how high he'll be. Mm-hmm. But he is – I'll put it to you this way. Malone told me that – and he might have said this publicly too, but I'm just telling you on the stuff he's told me on the record, where he said that the only other player that he believes – is equally as intelligent or in that range, in that stratosphere. I don't want to misquote him, but I'm paraphrasing where he said, basically the two smartest guys I've ever coached are LeBron and Nikola. And it's not close. Right. And you know, cause he was an assistant on LeBron's Cleveland teams the first time around, and LeBron, even in that last game, I was there for that game four. And I was sitting right in front of him when he was asked about Joker, and he didn't stop marveling at Joker. And he said, I know people want to focus on, athleticism or explosiveness or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but the one thing I know he's got, he's like up here. He's like that up there. He's the best in the world right now. He's as locked in as anyone I've ever seen. And he's like, and I know because I can relate to him. Like he and I feel like are very much on the same wavelength, seeing plays develop before they develop. So, I guess that's a long way around to say yes. And you have to kind of talk it through because it's not easy. It should be a nuanced conversation. But, man, he's incredible for sure.
Final thing. And we're terrible at rapid fire. So I'll just ask you this. Have you been asked? Because I'm not making a pick yet. I'm waiting until I get out.
I did. I put it on around the horn today. I said Heat in seven. Because I think that – I think they can control the pace in four games. And to me, I just think that the short rotation will get to them. As much as people are making the thing about the altitude a thing, and it is a thing, having spent a week there not too long ago, and having been there a bunch of times, it's a real thing. But I do think that Miami can control the pace enough, especially if Tyler comes back. Getting to the free throw line is how you beat them. You got to stop them in transition and you got to beat them at the free throw line. If you can do that, you've got a chance to be in that series. And I think Miami can do it. I think that they're going to need a few breaks perhaps. But it's going to be a much better series than I think people are giving it credit for, including Vegas, who has them as a -380 underdog. I saw that Denver's a -380 favorite rather. So I think it's a real series. And, you know, I think it goes seven. I think Miami can pull it out in the seventh game. I think by the time they get to a seventh game, they'll be more accustomed to the altitude. It'll be much less of an issue.
And their depth may be a factor there. I just cannot believe we're at the point where we're talking about, well, when Tyler – I didn't think we were going to see Tyler.
Yeah.
Until next year or maybe even in a Heat uniform again. And here we – it's just crazy that they've gotten the season – back to Tyler Hero, where there's an opportunity for him to actually make an impact. And
well, good. He deserves it because
he does. He does. And I look, there's the one thing I didn't want for him is I don't want him to be blamed because he's being thrown into this. And look, we know the Jameer Nelson history and Rafer Alston in 2009, right? Or 2010. And Stan's regrets and all that. And I just didn't want him to be in that situation because it's unfair to him because it just is. This team played a different way without him. And there is a role for him. I agree with you. It's going to have to be carefully managed, but I'll tell this to Dan Dokic, double down Dan Dokic to his face. There's no better coach in the NBA to manage that situation than Eric Spoelstra. George, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir. And you're going to be beloved, I think, by Heat fans for that prediction. By the way, but you don't even win this because Israel, before the season, picked a Heat Nuggets final, which I
he did. I saw that. I retweeted it. But I also, did you know that Israel also picked the Celtics in six?
I'm going to text Israel now. Have a good night, George.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.